In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today in the Orthodox Church, we celebrate the triumph of Orthodoxy. We remember the restoration of the holy and venerable icons that surround us in the Church today by the Empress Regent, Saint Theodora. Interestingly enough, Saint Theodora was married to an iconoclast. She was married to an icon-smashing emperor. But through her secret veneration of icons, all of her children grew up as iconophiles or icon lovers. And there's so many different things we could say about today, about icons and their place in Christianity. Iconography gets to the very heart of the Incarnation, the coming of Christ in the flesh. The one who could not be depicted, the face that we could not see and live, now comes and dwells among us. Not only dwells among us, but submitted to be knit within the womb of his mother, Mary, a human being. So in venerating icons, we venerate the incarnation of the Son of God and the uncircumscribed, the indescribable, as the Kondakian today says, becomes circumscribed, becomes describable in a mysterious manner. So an icon is a testament to the heart of the Christian faith. It is a testament to who Christ is, God become man. And it is interesting that the historical Christian church that, in effect, you know, ended idolatry in the Roman Empire is charged, especially, you know, in modern times in the West, with idolatry, right? When nothing could be further from the truth. To venerate an icon is not the same thing as to worship an idol. And it is, in fact, you know, just as much a terrible understanding of the way that idolatry and paganism work as it is a poor understanding of icon veneration and of scripture. In idolatry worship, you worship a thing inhabited by a god, right? And nowhere in Orthodoxy do we believe that icons are inhabited by gods or spirits. Icons are, in essence, painted wood. We venerate what they depict, right? In a similar way into which, you know, someone who kisses a picture depicting a loved one is not worshiping that person and knows that the picture is not, for example, you know, actually their son, right? But a depiction of their son. So our veneration passes over, as St. Basil the Great says, from the actual prototype, passes over to the actual prototype, to the actual one being depicted in the icon. And this is so important because it also says so much about ourselves and who we are. We are icons, right? We are made according to the image, the in Greek, ikona of God. And we know that Christ is the expressed image or icon of God. No one has seen God, as the end of St. John's prologue tells us, aside from Christ, the image of God, who is at his Father's side and has made him known. So the life of Christ is the making of God known to humanity, and not simply on some external level, right? Not simply morally or ethically, but ontologically, which is just, you know, a great big word that means that the very nature of our being, Christ has been made known to us. And this is shown to us even in today's gospel, in the come and see of Christ. It isn't just a visual invitation, right? St. Philip was already beholding Christ himself in front of him. Nor is it simply an intellectual invitation. Christ didn't come to the philosophy students. He came to fishermen, tax collectors, and harlots. It's an invitation instead to a life that is entirely iconographic. A life that God best expressed as part of creation, as one of us. But as one of us that is served by the angels, the Son of Man, the God-man, who, as Christ tells Nathanael at the end of today's gospel, will be ministered to by the angels. And so the angels interact with God and Christ spiritually, and we do this physically, right? So at the crucifixion and during our own Holy Week, for example, when Christ's body is taken down from the cross, we are ministering to the body of Christ just as the angels ministered to him at his crucifixion and resurrection. And this is attested to by St. John Chrysostom and St. Cyril of Alexandria. So again, as St. Basil says, the veneration passes to the prototype of what we are venerating. It passes to Christ himself. And what's more, we do this when we partake of the Eucharist, right? The body and blood of Christ, when we partake of Christ's body. And we properly minister to it, again, by preparing to partake of it through attending the services leading up to liturgy, through saying our pre-communion prayers. All of these things are, in fact, a ministry to Christ, the image, the icon of the invisible God. So the invitation to come and see is an invitation, not just to the beauty of Christianity in the physical sense, although it is certainly that, but it is the marriage of the physical with the heavenly, perfectly summed up in the person of Jesus Christ. And so when we venerate icons, we are venerating this. When we kiss an icon of Christ or the Theotokos or St. John the Baptist or St. Anthony, we are venerating their person united to Christ. And when we process with the icons, as we'll do at the end of this service, we are holding up, we are proclaiming the reality of Christ in our lives and in the age to come. That God has found it good and right and holy to dwell among us, to become depictable, and to raise up this depiction, this image, this icon to something higher, to raise up his creation not only to a resurrection, but into the very presence of God himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.